Good morning, everyone. I had a particular impetus, felt a particular impetus and urge Seif Hazman, along with all of the Pesach Shiyum that we've given Balochu Ba'agata, not to neglect Parshas Sav. Parshas Sav, I feel, is a neglected parsha on a number of levels. Time of year, also the subject matter, which seemed very technical to people. In fact, I'm ready to put down money that if I would pull your average John Doe, or maybe I should say Chaim Doe, and I would ask him, what is the big picture theme of Parshas Sav? I think, don't tell me this Prat Halacha, that Prat Halacha, I don't think anyone would be able to, very few people would be able to tell me, including people who feel they have a Yad and Mikra. What is the big picture theme? More Karbanah, same old, same old. So, Be'ezus Hashem, I would like to develop the theme of Parsha Sav, as with every Parsha when Klal Yisrael divided it into the storm as we have it, that reflects there's some theme which is going to be manifest from patterns, patterns of expression, patterns of concept throughout the Parsha, and it's going to point to a Yisoid in Avodas Hashem, which is that applicable in all of Yiddishkeit. So, what happens in our parsha? Certainly in the beginning of our parsha. There's a very clear Seder HaDvarim. Last week's parsha Vayikra introduced all the categories of Karbanos. Oila, Shlomim, Chatas, Asham, and so forth. Parshas Sav is revisiting all of those same orders of Karbanos and giving Pratim. And the parsha does this in a very organized and systematic way. It begins Zeis Tiras Ha'ila, right? Savas Aram V'yas Banav Lemer Zeis Tiras Ha'ila, and it gives various details about the Ayla and Karbanos, which have a lot of ash and the need for Trumas Hadash, and Ayla, which is totally burnt in the Mizbeach. And then you see a few psukim later, Zeis Tiras HaMincha, and it lays out how Prati Halachas about Mincha, right? And then you scroll down a little bit to Parak Vav Pasuk Yid Ches, Zeis Tiras HaChatas, and it gives details about Chatas. And then Parak Zayin, Zeis Tiras HaOila, and then you see Parak Zayin Pasuk Yid Alf, Zeis Tiras Zevach HaShlam, and further. You see that very clearly? Details, a detailed expansion of all Parshas Vayikra, and apparently the details of these Karbanos are aptly captured by the word Zeis Tiras. Zeis Tiras HaMincha. Not the Mincha, the Torah about Mincha, the teachings about the Mincha. The teaching about the Chatas mean the details. So it's a parsha about details, nuts and bolts. And I'm going to argue that it is that theme in the end of the parsha as well. The end of the parsha deals with the Miluim, the 7 days, when actual Avodas HaMishkan begins. This dream of all of the Karbanah, of all of the Avodas HaMishkan, which has been dealt with in Parshias Truma, Tetzaveh, beginning of Kisisa, Vayakob, Kuti, Vayikri, this notion of Avodas HaMishkan now actually begins here. And I'm going to argue the notion of beginning, rubber hits the road, practicality, has a lot to do with details. Details are the nuts and bolts which make things actually happen. When we deal with any issue on the realm of in the realm of dream, in the realm of planning, that's Olam HaMachshava. Olam HaMais is very detailed. And many a dreamy idea, even romantic dream, falls flat in the realm of action due to the devil and the details, which don't pan out, right? So Parshas Sav, both in terms of its Zos Torah detail focus and in terms of rubber hits 30 seats, and now it actually happens. Avodas HaMikdash can actually begin here because the details in place, it's a Parsha all about detail. Now, why are details so important? The moment I mention details, some people are rolling their eyes. Details are not exciting. Devil in the details. Well, I want to argue divine in the details. The meaning of details. And really, let's take this new expression I coined this morning. Not devil in the details, but divine in the details. The Torah HaKdoshah is the expression of Kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. As Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, Torah is the only reality in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests directly, without any tzimtzumim, without any barriers. We come in contact with the divine itself. And yet, this most supernal this most ethereal revelation of Hashem is not distant and beyond our reach, but it's concrete and real-worldly because the halacha is so specific, so detailed, and so this worldly, right? Dealing with issues which are so technical and detailed, right? Mass of matter, this year, that year, measurements, diameters, practical considerations, that it might seem to some that there is a dissonance between a spiritual Torah, a supernal Torah, and a very practical, detailed Torah. Think about the lamed and the bal machshava, the deeper person, and the practical paisek, and you will think these are two different Torahs. A Talmud Chacham just mentioned to me a few weeks ago about two gedolei Torah. He said, you and I both know on some level they're worshiping different gods. He's a lamed and bal machshava, and he's a paisek, and right? He's deep, he's simple-minded, but very practical. Right? Of course, that was an over-the-top expression, and it's not true, right? The supernal depth, which one Talmud Chacham is in touch with, finds concrete manifestation through the latter, and it is because the Torah is so practical, technical, and speaks to us in this world that Hashem and everything spiritual and everything inspiring does not remain beyond our reach, but is graspable. And in a sense, another dimension of this twosome between vision, divine, and actuality is Torah and mitzvahs, as the Maharal writes in many places. Torah, Limud HaTorah, deals with the meaning, the purpose, the essence, and mitzvahs, practical kiyum mitzvahs, ground that Torah. Right? And ensure that the divine is not this up in the cloud sort of thing that at most we relate to in the realm of machshava, but becomes part of us, right, in the realm where we live, the real world. And that's how the Maral explains the pasuk, ki ner mitzvah v'tayra are. Tayra is a ner, tayra is the light, mitzvahs are the ner. Think about a candle. The ar is the essence of the candle. But yet the ar is abstract, in a sense, non-physical, not tangible, right? As the Ramchal writes, R is the mashal to the Olam Haruchni, right? That which is most beyond our grasp, most subtle. Torah is the essence, it's the spiritual, and yet the Torah itself would be beyond the Olam HaMaisa were it not for the mitzvahs, practical mitzvahs like tefillin of leather boxes and matzah baked with wheat flour. Practical, detailed mitzvahs, which give concrete expression to the divine, just like the candle, the wax candle, or the oil and the wicks give physical form, give a keli that the ethereal, that the supernal can be contained, so to the mitzvahs, and really the halachic system, gives form that which is most beyond can be captured. And it is my thesis this morning that when we study our parsha, which I believe is the parsha all about devil in the details, or rather divine in the details, the entire notion about how halacha captures the realm that's beyond is going to be featured here. I want to trace how really Parshas Tzav is not a freestanding parsha, but it's introducing the whole notion of devil in the details, which is really a broader theme of Sefer Vayikra, which our parasha is introducing. Sefer Vayikra is identified in the Medrash Rabbah as one of the two Sfarim of Halachos Rabbos. It's a famous Bereishis Rabbah. The Bereishis Rabbah says there are two Chumashim that are Chumashim of a lot of Halacha. Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Dvar. Right? And arguably, the Vayikra characteristic of being a very halachic, very detailed sefer, less storyline, less meisim, right? Rabbinical sermonizing has to become more creative this season, right? It seems less human, right? So a sefer of halachos rabos, like Dvarim, I'm going to argue that's captured in the very title of the sefer, Toras Kohanim, paired with Dvarim, which is called Mishnah Torah. You see the word Torah in both of them, and I'm going to argue the word Torah, teachings, reflects practicality. Torah Milashon Hora, the term used for Psak Halacha, guidance, what to do. Hayra is what to do, the word Torah. And we've already begun to trace how Parshas Tzav which is a very practical parsha, putting in halachos, devil in the details, divine in the details, to the halachos of karbanos, has that word taira in each of the categories. You will see this expression taira echoing beyond parshas sav elsewhere in the sefer, right? That term Torah and calling specific bodies of law Torah with a very detailed Torah-tika focus, you will see, for example, in the end of next week's parsha, which follows Shemini, how does parsha Shemini end? The laws of Tumah and Taira of the Behema, right? Zos Torahs HaBehema. Right? How does parsha Tazria end? It's introducing the laws of Tzoras. Zos Torahs Nega HaTzoras. Likewise, Parshas Mitzayra begins, Zeis Tairas HaMitzayra. Right? Likewise, you'll find statements in Parshas Mitzayra, Zos HaTorah L'chom Negat Tzoras V'lanesek, or when it introduces the halachas of Zav, Keri, right? You have Zos Torahs HaZav. That term Torah, which dots specific categories of halachas of karbanos and tumah taira, beginning in our parshas, those Torahs awesome, those Torahs amenka, right? You appreciate the pattern here. Torahs Kohanim, right? Torahs Kohanim, that moniker of Chazal, I believe, is actually enshrined in the text itself with the word Torah. Torah means guidance, teachings, laws, practicality, right? In a certain sense, teaching means not the abstract, but what to learn from it, what to do based on it. Myra means a clear, Myra is literally a guide, as in a guide on a trip, a GPS, a guide, where to go, what to do, right? That's why the term is used for a Myra Hira Paisik. Tyra reflects practicality, specifics, right? And you hear that term Torahs Kohanim is really elegantly emerging from this term, which our parsha introduces throughout the greater Sefer. We'll follow up on the question. Remember the question. The question is precious to me. I just want myself. I want myself. So hold the comment. I want to hear. I want to go do good time management because we have a lot of treasures to reveal in this very short amount of time. Some of the other ones to go. Right? You appreciate that elegant pattern, the word Tyra. And I'm going to suggest that one of the reasons why Tyra specifics teachings is so focal to the halachas of Karbanos Tumah Taira, to the Sefer, has to do with the fact that this Sefer really deals with the matters that are the most ethereal, the most supernal, the most beyond us. The halachas of Karbanos Tumah Taira are dealing with matters of heaven, Lachonish Lashem. They contain, as the Mefarshim write, many more chukim, which are beyond us, because we're not wheeling dealing in the matters here of the human condition, but in the matters of the divine, right? It's the on the inverse side of the spectrum, the mishpatim and the seder nezikin, which is much more rational. Of course, there are chukim there, but much more rational because it is the Torah dealing with the human condition. Here it's dealing with the divine condition. For all these halachs of kadshim and pigul and nicer are all really chukim and really beyond us. If you want a Kabbalistic articulation of that truth, when the Gemara and Shabbos divides the different starim into six accolades in the pasuk, via Munasi Techachos and Yeshua's Chachma Vadas, Kadshim, and these halachas are called Chachma. Chachma in Kabbalah, Chachma is the term to describe knowledge from a source which is beyond us, right? Chachma refers to what your Rebbe teaches you, as Rashi says. Chachma is what your Rebbe teaches you. Chachma is what you have to receive from a source which is beyond you. Bina, in turn, is what you internalize and develop. Chachma is that source that's beyond us, but it's in the spheres. Chachma is that sphere when Hashem Shafa from Keser begins to take first form, right? Chachma is a source, sort of Mita. So our Seder is dealing with what's in the source and what's beyond us, so it is the most supernal matter. The matter which is most beyond us, and therefore, we believe it or not, because it is most beyond us, we relate to it less through the rational and more through the nitty-gritty, right? The halachas are how we connect to it, right? As we began, it's true of all of Torah, that the nitty-gritty and the halachas and the details is how we connect, but all the more so when you're dealing with subject matter, right? You know, it's the sermonizing rabbis and their homilies are struggling. Right? It's hard to relate to it on the human level. That's not really the portal. The portal, how we relate to it, is in the nitty-gritty details by observing these halachas and learning these halachas on a halacha level. On a hayra level, we're connecting to a realm which is beyond. That's a major theme here of Teres Kahanim, which our parsha is introducing. And in a certain sense, this sefer and really the entire realm of practical halacha, which is becoming the showcase theme here, in a certain sense, because it is so accessible, right? Non-philosophical, dealing with practicalities, it gives us, as we said, an ability to relate to a realm which is beyond, right? That in a sense, it is through halacha and it's through the technicalities that we actually have more appreciation and in a sense, even more feeling about the Torah, which is beyond. The more subject matter is expressed in an applicable way, the more we appreciate it, and the more subject matter is esoteric and beyond, the less we appreciate it. I'll give you a mashal. Okay? I'm not going to name individuals. I want to show kavod to everyone. But if you ask Anashim Pshutim, who are some of the deepest men in Klal Yisrael, they'll mention some speakers who for an Amkan in Torah, what they're saying is very, very superficial. And when, on the other hand, when this Pashta person listens to a shir of from truly deep people, they'll say they don't see the Yaifi of Torah. And we understand what's going on. It's because the truly deep person is in a realm which is beyond them. So not only do they not fully relate to it, they even write off what he's saying. There's no depth there, right? Because it's beyond them. They don't have a way to gravitate on it. While the more Pashta speaker, right, who has more of a human feel and so forth, right, their Teichen is actually less deep, but they're given more of a portal, correct? In a certain sense, the same thing is true. I'm just using that mashal. It is the Hayrah. It is the more technical, which is calibrating the Torah down to us. So this way we have an appreciation of its yaifi in a way which we wouldn't. Right? The Svarim speak in this realm that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ar, if the Ar Ein Sof did not have Gashmiistic expression, we wouldn't appreciate it. Right? If we would come in contact with the Ar Ein Sof without halachic expression and laws of Dalet Ninin and laws of need and so forth, not only wouldn't we relate to it, we wouldn't even appreciate what's in the Ar Ein Sof. We'd write it off, right? And I want to bring out this theme from a medrash about Toras Kohanim and our sefer, as introduced by our parsha. Our sefer is very halachic, technical focus along with Sefer Tvar. It says in the Bereishis Rabbah something very interesting. It speaks of the five expressions of Ar in Bereishis, right? Count them with me. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ar, that's number one. Number two is Vayehi Ar. What's number three? Vayikra Elokim Liar Yom. I apologize, one more time. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ar, Vayehi Ar. Vayar Elokim Asar Ki Tov, that's three. Vayavd Elokim Bein Ar Uvein Achashem, and the Vayikra Elokim Liar Yom. So you notice that the third and fifth expressions, Vayar Elokim Asar Ki Tov, Hashem saw the light was good. And then Vayikra Elokim Lo Aryam, he called the light day. In both cases, the term Ar, has a conjunctive expression. Vayar Elokim Asar Ki Tov, Ar is coupled with Tov. And in the fifth example, Ar is coupled with Yom. Vayikra Elokim Lo Aryam. Zak the Medrash, because the third R is a reference to Sefer Vayikra, the third Sefer. Because Sefer Vayikra has many halachas, it has a conjunctive expression along with R, Yom, Vayar Elokim Asar Ki Tov, and Sefer Dvar, because it is a halacha rabba sticka Sefer, along with R, it has the word Yom, right? You see how the Medrash is connecting halacha to this notion of the R not appearing as an individualized expression as it does in the case of Vayomer Elokim Yehi R to represent Bereishis. Right? Vayihi Ar in the case of Shmos and so forth. Right? The fact that these are Svarim of Halachos Rabos is what the term is a basis that the term Ar has a secondary expression. Why is that? The issue is exactly what we're saying. The less halachic focus, the less detailed focus the Sefer is, the more it is ethereal and supernal. The more it is just pure R, and pure R is great. But pure is just R. There's, as we said, R doesn't have R without a ner, R without a tangible keli.
Only in the midbar.
Huh?
Only in the midbar, but they have R, which was mon, was essentially R.
Yes, there's a lot there. There's
and
a lot there.
They can only eat that in the midbar.
Excellent, excellent, and there's a lot there. Excellent, and many kashva allusions in what Sam just said. The way I'm understanding the medrash very, very concretely in this vein is that. Or, light. What is it? What is it? It's beyond, right? You don't even appreciate its goodness and its inspiration. It's only in Svarim that have halachos ravos, technicalities, that then the R is told. You appreciate what's good. Just as I mentioned, that speaker, who is maybe less ethereal, actually less deep and more human, people appreciate the taif when he speaks. And they say, oh, beautiful, inspiring, right? And they write off the deeper one, oh, there's less taif. You hear this all the time. It frustrates me when the man on the street speaks this way. But that's the truth in the human condition, right? Or in the case of Dvarim, the R is called Yom, day, and everything day represents in terms of opportunity, activity, day as opposed to night, right? Renewal, right? All of those aspects of the R are only appreciated when the Torah calibrates into the real world and the world of Halakha. So that's, I think, the deep cut in the depth of this medrash. And in the case of Sefer Vayikra, I believe our parsha is most introducing this focus, our parsha which introduces the terminologies of Torahs, 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 which will echo and resound in subsequent parshas, is introducing this whole notion of Torahs Kohanim, Pratim, Halachas, that which is making the ethereal Torah portable and inspiring to us. There's yet another expression which dots our parsha. For, you know, it's attendees of my shiurim in Chumash know my theory that, my thesis really, that every parsha and every segment in Torah will have a distinctive word which pops up again and again and again and again. You just have to identify, you just have to crack it open. When you find that word or that expression which pops up everywhere, right, it's very, very precious. That's a real revelation when we're not dealing with vertical level, but we're dealing big picture level. You got a big picture theme when you find that red lace running throughout the parsha. So the term tzav is very, very clear, and that is the term tzav itself. It's not only the name of the parsha, and it's not only reflected in the number of psukim in the parsha, right? Our parsha has 96 psukim, right? Tzav psukim and the simon at the end of the parsha. The simon, the tzav simon, right? You see that at the end of the parsha, right? So the term tzav is not only the introductory phrase, it's not only the number of psukim and simon, but the term itself appears repeatedly throughout the parsha. Not only in the opening phrase in the parasha Tzav Asarim, but many, many times, for example, I'll just read with you a few of the examples. In the middle of the parasha, Parak Zayin Pasuk Lamed Vav, Asher Tziva Hashem, right? And then two psukim later, Lamechaz, Asher Tziva Hashem, and then Nachum on the same Pasuk, Tzavoso Es Bnei Yisrael, right? And then in the Milum story, which closes our parasha, we have this repeated focus, right? We have Parakhas Pasuk Dalet, Vayas Moshe Kasher Tziva Hashem Oso. And then in the very next Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Moshe Ala Eda Zehadovar Asher Tziva Hashem. Right? And then closing the parasha in Parakhas Pasuk Lama Dalet, you have the expression Kasher Oso Vayomer Zetziva Hashem. Right? And then in Pasuk Lama Vav, closing the parasha, the final closing scene before the curtain of our parasha falls. The word tzav appears throughout our parasha in so many ways, and certainly has to do with something which we discussed in Parasha Shmos, that there's a sister parasha to Parasha Tzav when the Miluim order in our parasha was first introduced, which is which parasha? Which parasha back in Sefer Shmos foreshadows Parasha Tzav? When is that the Miluim week, which is actually observed in our parasha, was first narrated by Parshas Tetzava, from that same show, Sav, right? Very precious realization. What is the meaning to this Sav focus? What is represented by that word? And beyond a technical pattern, what does that to do with in reflecting the whole issue of halachos, rabos, and technicality? I would argue Sav, command. There's a certain absolutism. No if, ands, or buts. There's a certain absolutism. Absolutism is true in the realm of halacha, practicality. The world of thought, the world of lamdas, the world of machshava, does not involve black and white binary thinking. And people who are more binary, linear, and black and white are generally less Lamdanim, less Balinach Sheva, but good Paiskim. Right? Because the realm of practical behavior is absolute. Do don't, do don't, do don't, do don't. Right? The realm of the deeper essence of Torah, on the other hand, is not about simplistic linear thinking, but it's about expansive thinking. Right? In the realm of expansive thinking, there is not one absolute shita that's right. There is a kaleidoscope of truths of elu ve'elu. In the realm of practical halacha, there's an absolutism. And a paisik needs a sense of absolutism. A certain very chashuv Talmud Chacham I know has done a case study with many good chakiras and showed again and again, yes, the same question to a lambda 9 out of 10 times the way he responds, and a paisik 9, and it's unbelievable to see in the way it's a different way of thinking, much more practical, absolute, less open to subtlety of possibilities, right? Tzav is the realm of absolutism. No if, ands, or buts. Command! And that's reflected by another word, which appears again and again throughout our parsha, the word zet or zos. And all those times it says Torah, it says zos Torah sa this, zos Torah sa that, right? And it also says the word in our parsha many times, zahadavar, that, zah, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. The realm of practicality in which we're going to take an ethereal, supernal Torah with all of its many dimensions and bring it down has to have a certain discipline and absolutism, and there's no offense about this is the way to be the Kayamet, and there's not really room for expansiveness of thought. There's a certain and we need that discipline when observing the halacha, right, to give the halacha gravitas and grounding. However, I'm going to suggest that along with practical halachas, absolutism, discipline, we can never lose sight of the fact the practical, pragmatic Torah is an expression of something which is not rigid, is an expression of something which is broad, expansive, and beautiful, and really a danger when one becomes hyper-obsessed with the halacha as the end and doesn't appreciate that it is the expression of something beautiful, right? There could be some very, very adverse effect. You know, this gives rise to that famous criticism which people had about certain people. They worship the Shulchan Aruch, not Hashem, right? They don't say the halacha is a portal, and it's a portal to something which is beyond and supernal. It's a means. And the discipline is necessary, but it's a means. Anyone whose Yiddishkeit is halacha obsessed rather than halacha focused, there's a difference there. Yiddishkeit needs to be halacha focused. But focus doesn't mean an obsession. Focus means it's a focus, a discipline. But Yiddishkeit is ultimately about something expansive, something nurturing, with a rigid system, because it's real, but that's the system, right? And I believe that this word of admonition makes sure that tzav focus, the absolutism, the halacha focus, not become halacha obsession, is itself enshrined in our parasha, or if not in our parasha, at least in our haftarah. Listen to this final revelation, which I'm still reveling in. Right? What is this week's haftarah about? The haftarah of tzav. Right? It's a nevuah from Yirmiyahu, Prakim Zayin Ches Tes, which deal with a frequent theme that Hashem says, I don't really care about the karbanos if you forget about me. As much as these parshas are dealing with karbanos, there was an all too common focus back in the world of karbanos that people became focused on the avodah and forgot about the Ribono Shel Olam, and they were unethical as much as they worshipped, right? And so forth, right? So you appreciate why your haftarah is dealing with Hashem's statement, I don't really want your karbanos if you're not a Balmidas, if you're not a Yari Shamayim. It's an appropriate counter-focus to these parashas of karbanos. But why is it a parasha Tzav particular, not parashas Vayikra? Well, listen to this. What does it say in the very second pasuk in the Haftarah? Right? You know, we'll begin with the first pasuk. Parak Zayin, Pasuk Chav Aleph, the first Pasuk in the Haftarah. Koyamar Hashem Tzvakus Elokei Yisrael, Oloseichem Sivu, Al Zevcheichem V'ichlu Basar. There you go, just eating meat, karbanos. You think that's what I want? He continues in Pasuk Chav Beis, Ki Leidi Barti Yisavei Seichem, The light see they see beyond his CS Amirat Mitzrayim, I'll divrei Oila Basevach. I never commanded them to bring Oila Zuzracha. That's not really what I want. Well, doesn't your sensitive ear pick up on the music? The conjunction to Parshas Tzav is the provocative statement. No, I did not give Tzav of Karbanos if it's lacking ethics. Right? Biyom Hosiyei Sam Eretz Mitzrayim. The Torah given to the daughter of Yotzi Mitzrayim. Right? Lotzi Vesam Al Devar Oyla V'Zavach. Don't you hear? It's right there. It's right there. This is the magnificence of the selection of a Haftorah. It's not random at all. The Parsha all about, I did command about Karbanos. Hashem then turns around the Haftorah and says, if you're just going to observe the karbanos, the details, without the spirit, I did not give tzav over that. Rather, as the next pasuk zayin, parak zayin, pasuk chaf gimel continues, ki imas hadavar hazetzi veiz yusam. This is what I really said. Shimu b'koli, listen to me, right? And via Yerushamayim, and as our haftarah concludes, famous verbiage, koyamar Hashem, al yishal chacham b'chachmasiv, al yishal giber b'gvurasu, ki imuzayis yishal amazal haskel b'yadozi. I don't care about what you know. I don't care about what you do, right? This is what's praiseworthy, a person who really knows me, a person who's in touch with Hashem, right? So how magnificent, right? There's an art form here. The parsha all about absolutism and tzivoy, and Hashem is saying, yet, that's not really what I'm commanding over. And the very word tzav has been turned on its head. Once you see it, it's like a treasure hidden in plain sight in the Haftarah. Once you see it, you get it. There's no question. In the Karn Devarimus, there's no question that this is the elegant pattern. And now we know the scheme up Chazal HaKadoshim's sleeve and selecting this Haftarah. Chazal are in our game. Chazal fully know this is the parasha all about absolutism, halacha, technicality, as reflected by the thematic expression, which has a preponderance of expressions in our parsha tzav, and they're selecting a haftarah, but that's not really what the tzav is, if you're losing the spirit. We need to be focused on the halacha, but not obsessed with the halacha. I hope the Olam understands the distinction there. It's not ultimately about the details. It's about the connection, the relationship, and the expansive realm. We're only going to reach the expansive realm through the discipline of Kiyum of the Halacha in a serious way, not in a focused, and in a tzavli, and absolutely, not in a pussy-footed, so in a real way, right? But we have to be spiritually sophisticated. I always reach the same conclusion. Yiddishkeit requires sophistication, and it's a sophisticated concept that a Yiddishkeit could be halachically focused, detailed focused, but not detail obsessed with the knowledge that it's the strict observance of the halacha, which is a portal to bring us to that which is beyond. This is the same sophistication of guf neshama, right? A year along with Ava. We've discussed this many, many times, and yet I never lose my amazement how difficult this is for some people to grasp. They say, you know, isn't it anything goes? Is it a loving system where anything goes, or is it a rigid system which is constraining? Like they box it into A or B, A or B, which again, it's that sort of binary, very unsophisticated thinking. Everyone's going to grow, everyone's going to become worse. I'm telling you, it never fails to amaze me. And even when in a shir, I'll throw in those words of admonition. You have some yuckle who say, so you're saying really anything goes, right? What are you going to do? But the elegance of this theme, it's a treasure hidden in points of the patterns of expression and so forth throughout our parsha. May we all be zaycha to have a detailed, focused Yiddishkeit, where devil in the details will become divine in the details, because the detail is the devil when it's detail obsessed. It is devil in the details when you're worshiping at the altar of halacha, when you're worshiping the shulchan aruch. But when rather the details are a portal, and the indispensable portal to what's beyond, then the details are not devils. It's not devil in the details. It's divine in the details. May we all be zeichet to achieve this. Amen. Kein yehi ratzon. And thank you for your patience, Bernie. Please enlighten me. What do you say, Bernie?
Yes, that Shem has a very special relationship with the Kohen.
Yeah.